reaching for the armbar.
Beautiful job of turning her back over, but Kaufman being stubborn, coming back up to her knees, keeping her balance, looking at rolling her back over.
Yeah, and that arm lock she's got, Pat, where she's holding her bicep, that's stopping it.
Kaufman's lone loss came via, and it's over! Rowdy Ronda Rousey continues to amaze me!
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
I would never let a woman kick my ass. If she tried anything, I'd be like, hey, you get your bitch ass back in the kitchen and make me some pie.
Not with Ronda Rousey, you wouldn't. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, of course, the American Forces Network, and the iHeart Radio Network. Don't forget, we're here Saturdays and Sundays, 11 a.m. Saturdays. For an hour, we talk boxing and MMA, combine both sports into 1 hour. And then on Sunday, we do a two-hour show from 11 a.m. Pacific time to 1 p.m. Pacific time. The first hour, all about boxing. The second hour, this hour, featuring the world of MMA and the UFC. The UFC is not the only kid on the block, although you would think so as far as Major League's concerned. But Bellator is going to go November the 2nd on Spike TV, and Ben Askren will not be on the card. I was mistaken there. Eddie Alvarez, 24-3, the guy that was being courted by the UFC. There was court battles involved, injunctions, all kinds of stuff. He went back to Bellator. He was their former champion. He's taking on the current champion, Michael Chandler. This is the lightweight championship, 155 pounds. Michael Chandler, he's another good-looking prospect, a guy could fight in the UFC.
Yeah, he is. I mean, I think it's Bellator has some really good fighters. I just wish that they were in the UFC.
But, you know, but they were doing Zach, it was exciting earlier this year when they were on Spike TV on Thursday nights at 10 o'clock or whatever, when they were following the pro wrestling card. I thought there was exciting cards, lots of knockouts, lots of entertainment. I mean, I really thought that they were delivering a product, and all of a sudden they just sort of like fell off the planet. What's going on?
I don't understand it. They have a decent roster. They can put on good cards when they want to, but I don't know. I think they might be getting a little money hungry or something.
Money hungry? What you think, as far as the negotiations with Spike TV?
Yeah, it's partly that. It seems to be that, you know. But also, just it doesn't seem like they're really willing to pay the fighters that well. But they'll go out and sign Ortiz and Rampage, you know.
Well, speaking of bonuses, Gilbert Melendez and Diego Sanchez both, I think, got $60,000 bonuses last week for that epic fight they put forward. And looking back 6, 7, 8 days ago, Zach, has there been a better fight in the world of MMA in the last year?
No, absolutely not. I mean, I think they deserve more than that. You know, they should be getting paid a lot better than that, you know.
Yeah, but this is the world of Dana White, and Dana White usually gives $40,000 bonuses. He gave them $60,000 bonuses. I thought maybe he should have went like off the chain and said, here's like $150,000 each for you guys, when it made himself look like such a hero. Because, you know, this is a billion-dollar industry. I'm talking about the UFC. They're worth over $1 billion. Somebody told me $1.8 billion. And at one point in time, there were $35 million in the hole. So I think they can afford to pay these guys now.
Definitely. And, I mean, it would be good to have that kind of incentive. Like, you know, if you put on a fight like Sanchez and Melendez, you should get paid really well.
Well, you know, somebody mentioned it to me just a couple of minutes ago, maybe having some type of union for MMA fighters. Well, the boxers had a union, and Eddie Mustafa Muhammad got together with the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, and that went about as far as I just mentioned. I mean, that's it. There's a union. Eddie Mustafa's involved. The Teamsters are involved, but I don't know where and if they've had any effect on boxing whatsoever. Another fight on that Bellator card, of course, that lightweight championship fight, Alvarez and Chandler's a rematch. Chandler beat Alvarez for the title. Emmanuel Newton, the man that knocked out King Mo with a spinning back fist. Man, when you get hit with a spinning back fist, it's like, I was talking with Kyle Kingsbury last week, it's like 101 shot when you throw it that it's going to land. But if it lands, lights out. Muhammad Lawal, King Mo, 11-2. Emmanuel Newton, 21-7. Newton was brought in as the opponent there, right?
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of like when Seth Petruzzelli was brought in to fight Kimbo Slice. It was like that type of deal where, you know, he was supposed to lose, but then he ends up knocking out the favorite.
Okay, so what's going to happen in the rematch? Are we looking at another fluke? Because I know Muhammad Lawal or King Mo's got Jeff Mayweather, if he's well, training him as far as boxing is concerned. He's a better stand-up fighter. He's considered one of the better stand-up boxers in the game, right, King Mo?
Yeah, he is, but I don't. I mean, I don't know if Jeff Mayweather can prepare him to defend against spinning back fists because that's not a boxing move.
But Kyle said it was like a 75 or 100 to 1 shot when you throw it. I mean, but it is an amazing blow with such force and such magnitude, such force and such, I mean, leverage on it. And then you're coming around and it's a punch you usually don't see. I mean, those are the punches that are like lights out.
Yeah. I mean, if it's a, you know, it's about 100 to 1 that you land it, but there's about 100% chance someone's getting KO'd if they get caught with it.
Okay, that's the co-feature. Of course, that'll be on Spike TV. They're starting at 9 o'clock Eastern time. I guess they're going to delay it on the West Coast. That's the way it looks here. 9 o'clock Eastern time, 8 o'clock Central time this Saturday, November 2nd. Of course, that's the same night that Gennady Golovkin will be defending the WBA middleweight title in boxing on Madison Square Garden on HBO Championship Boxing against Curtis Stevens. Real quick pick on there. Gennady going to roll over Stevens or what?
Absolutely. And, I mean, after last night, I think he would roll over Peter Quillen as well.
Ooh, Peter Quillen as well. I had high hopes for Peter.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good fighter, but I honestly thought he might be the best competition for Golovkin, but I think Golovkin just handles him after that. You know, if Rosado was able to hurt him like that.
Yeah, but Rosado always comes to fight. He's you know what? He's a fan favorite. He's got this cult following on the internet. I kid you not, because when I mention his name, people say I don't mention his name enough. And I'm not a big Gabe Rosado fan, but I guess some people are. Back to MMA. Bellator Fighting Championships, of course, this is their special. Going to be on November the 2nd, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 o'clock Pacific, 8 o'clock Central Time. This is on Spike TV. As I said, Eddie Alvarez and Mike Chandler for the lightweight championship. The interim light heavyweight title, it'll be King Mo and Emmanuel Newton. Newton going to win the second fight or then go back to plan A and King Mo is going to win and move on?
King Mo should win that one. I think that he, you know, that shot was a good shot, but I don't see that happening again.
Okay, well, we'll see what happens there, because a spinning back fist, man, I don't know. I've never seen anybody get up from one that's landed clean. Have you?
No. Thinking about it, I was just, as soon as you mentioned the spinning back fist, all these, like, flashes of spinning back fist came in my head, and that was usually the end of the fight.
End of the night, man. End of the night. Zach Young's our guest, folks. Zach Attack Young. He is featured at ringtalk.com. That's RINGTALK, ringtalk.com. He's on iTunes with me, and he's all over the place. But the bottom line is he's our boxing and MMA expert. Daniel Strauss, 21-4. This is a featherweight title fight as far as the Bellator Fighting Championships are concerned. Taking on Pat Curran. Pat Curran's 19-4. Didn't Pat Curran used to be a UFC guy?
He was. I'm not exactly sure what happened with that, but I, as far as I know, he was a UFC fighter.
Yeah, so Strauss is 21-4. Got a lot of tattoos. Mean-looking dude. We'll see what happens there. The other fight on the card, there'll be four fights in all. And it'll be another one of these great names. Akop Stoyapin, who's 13-6, taking on Mike Richmond, who's easy to say, 15-3. These names kill me. You know that? These Russian guys. I remember used to the guys from Thailand. The guys from Thailand and the guys from, like, Malaysia and people like, well, they have these names, man. It's just, they're just murder. I remember Flash Gordon got to the point where he wouldn't call Korean fighters by the name. He would just call them Pisu Spit.
Okay. I don't want to disrespect the fighters, but their names are hard to pronounce.
Their names are hard to pronounce, no question about that. So let's go back 8 days once more to Gilbert Melendez and Diego Sanchez. Does Sanchez show some residual effects of all the fights, the tough fights he's had in that post-fight interview, did you think?
Yeah, that was a little troubling. I mean, Sanchez only fights wars, I'm pretty sure, you know, so there has to be some effects. And he didn't seem like he was talking that well.
No, King Kyle Kingsbury brought it up, of course, the UFC light heavyweight. A fighter, he brought it up last week. He thought it was a bit disturbing. And when you see fighters getting interviewed like that, you know, plus, let's be honest, he probably had his head scrambled a few times in that fight.
Right. And about that, I mean, I honestly don't know if they should interview fighters right after fights. They need to make their health a priority more.
Hey, listen, in combat sports, health is just not a priority. It looks like the they only sold 1,700 tickets thus far for the Long Beach card that was supposed to have Tito Ortiz and Rampage Jackson. Of course, it'll be on Spike TV. They only sold 1,700 tickets as of last week. That's not a good sign, so I don't expect the pay-per-view to do all that well either. I want to mention the fact that, Frank Shamrock, They had a good special on Spike TV, probably the best documentary they've ever aired. Frank Shamrock, Bound by Blood, of course, their former Strike Force champion. He's got his brother Ken Shamrock, of course, his stepbrother. They're both adopted. They bring him back in life to a homeless brother of his that lives in a tent in Redding, California, a face-to-face conversation with Ken Shamrock. This is really good. If you get a chance to see the replay on this one, it aired on the 10th of October, but if you get a chance to see this replay, watch it. Frank Shamrock, Bound by Blood. Zach, you happen to catch that?
No, I didn't, but now that you're mentioning it, I want to watch it.
Okay. And one other one brings up this bad news in the world of MMA, get it over with. Barry Meyer, the promoter of the Las Vegas-based Tough Enough promotion, who had run fights with locals and amateurs where Ronda Rousey and Gina Carano both got their MMA starts, amongst many others. He passed away on October 15th. There's no details about it, but what can I say? And the UFC has just signed World Series of Fighting. Take that back. After his UFC cut, the World Series of Fighting quickly signed Yushin Okami. Okami's not that good of a fighter, is he?
Okami, he is a good fighter, but he's just not, you know, at the championship UFC level. I think he could do well with World Series of Fighting, but, yeah, he has a kind of a questionable chin to me.
Looking at some ratings here, I'm going to go back to boxing for just a minute. Zach Attack Young's our guest, folks, and I'm looking at the ratings for the Delvin Rodriguez-Miguel Cotto fight. They did 1.56 million viewers on HBO. That was the October the 5th card. But the same card didn't do that well when they piped in Vladimir Klitschko and his fight. It only did 705,000 homes. Klitschko just can't catch on in the States, can he?
No, and I mean, when you put on performances like he just did, you can see why. People don't want to watch that.
But he can't, you know what, Zach, I have no problem with the way he fought. The only problem I have is his leaning, because guys used to lean on me. Big guys used to lean on me in the gym, and I'd be whooping on them, okay? And these guys have 35 or 40 pounds on me, and they would lean on me. And that's the only way he ever got me tired, is they would lean and lean and lean. And it's so frustrating, because if you exert yourself to 100% and try to get the guy off you, you're going to burn up a lot of energy, and you don't want to be doing that because, it's a simulated fighting sparring.
Yeah, I mean, you've said it a lot of times. It almost does seem like there should be like a super heavyweight, or that the Klitschko should be in a super heavyweight division.
Well, after looking at Vladimir Klitschko, I will have to say this. I think that Larry Holmes would have beat him. I think that George Foreman would have beat him. I don't think that Muhammad Ali would have beat him, but I think that Larry Holmes and George Foreman would have beat him.
Ali would have took him out.
You think Ali too?
Yeah.
Ali just wasn't that big physically, I don't think.
He was like 6'4", right?
No, he was like 6'1", 6'2", 6'1 and a half.
Was he? He always seemed taller. I don't know, but Ali...
Because he fought a lot of little guys like George Chavallo.
Hey, but Ali whooped on Foreman.
All right. Don't forget, ringtalk.com. That's RINGTALK, ringtalk.com. Zach Young's article on broken codes, broken boxing codes, folks. It's a trip. It's the best read on ringtalk.com this week. No question about it. Zach, say hello to your girlfriend. Take care of the kid. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you, Pedro.
The great Zach Attack Young of ringtalk.com. This is Ring Talk live worldwide on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, the American Forces Network, and the iHeart Radio Network.